Please turn in your Bibles to Jonah 1:17 and to Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41, for we are going to be considering both of those texts this morning as we consider the book of Jonah. That is our text, but we're going to need to look at Matthew 12 considerably this morning as well. So however you're able to do that with your fingers, please open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1 and to Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41. Yes, it happened. Yes, it truly happened. What a strange event. An event really very much unlike just about any other event in Scripture. What a strange event. What an amazing event. But yes, it actually happened. And what I'm referring to, of course, is our text this morning, our brief text in the book of Jonah, where Jonah there, having been last week in our time together in Jonah 1, last week at the end of our time together, was cast from the boat by the sailors. And this week we find that he is swallowed by the great fish, the whale, whatever it was, swallowed by the great fish, where he dwelt for 3 days, our text says, 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish, before being spat out, as we will find in future weeks, onto dry land. Yes, it happened. I'm making that point clearly this morning, right at the outset, in order to make clear that what we are dealing with in the book of Jonah, and in this text in particular, is a historical record of a historical event. For there are many today who would suggest otherwise. So right at the outset of our time together this morning, let me make that clear, that what we are dealing with here is not an allegory. It is not a myth. But rather, it is presented in the words of the book of Jonah as a historical event, and we receive it as such this morning. Yes, it is true. It is very true, as many would object, that great fish do not normally swallow an individual for 3 days and three nights before spitting that individual up onto dry land. But I would have those people understand, and I would have you in particular note this morning, that it could also be said that normally neither do blind men come to sight. Neither do lame men suddenly walk. Neither does the sun stop its path through the sky for a period of time, midday. Nor, especially, is it common for dead men to rise again from the grave. But that is the point. These are miraculous works worked by our miracle-working God. And therefore, this morning, as we approach our text, we approach it as such, as a historical record of a historical event. We are not free to cherry-pick, as it were, from the Scriptures, those events that we view as credible enough, believable enough. No, we are not free to cherry pick, but rather, and hear me this morning, hear both statements this morning, for this is the track we are taking. You're getting a little bit of forewarning of where we're going this morning. Nevertheless, rather, it is true that approximately 2,800 years ago, there was a man thrown from a boat, swallowed by a great fish for 3 days and three nights, before being spat up on dry land 3 days later. And also, there was another man 2,000 years ago who died and went into the grave, into the heart of the earth, the belly of the earth, and on the third day rose out of the grave. And that is where we want to go this morning, for that is, I believe, where the text is taking us. And so let's launch into it this morning. Launch into Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and begin our time there this morning. The first point that I would make, and I'll make this point briefly, because this first point this morning is exactly the same as one of our two main points from last week. In the earlier verses in chapter 1 the book of Jonah. For chapter 1, verse 17 really continues the same line of thinking and makes the same point as we did last week in verses 4 through 16. And what was that point? I repeat it again now. That man strives vainly to achieve his purposes. But God decrees, ordains, and accomplishes all of his purposes. That was last week. Man strives vainly to achieve his purposes. God ordains, decrees, and achieves all of his purposes. We saw that last week because we contrasted, for the text clearly contrasted in verses 4 through 16, clearly contrasted the actions and activity, the failing, futile actions and activities of the sailors with the purpose accomplishing actions of Yahweh. How God accomplished his purposes, the sailors failed to accomplish their purposes. Therefore, that was the lesson, perhaps, from last week. And as I say, that is the first point that we make again this week. It is again the point of verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1. For the text in Jonah 1:17 leaves us no doubt that once again it is Yahweh who is at work here. It is God, it is the Lord, it is Yahweh who is at work here. Look at our text. Now the Lord, all caps, Yahweh. Now Yahweh had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Or as the ESV says, the Lord appointed a great fish. Please understand from the text this morning that God is not figuring this out as he goes along. As Jonah hits the water, he's not looking around wildly to try and find a fish that can swallow him, or even more so, trying to look around as to what to do next. Rather, this fish was appointed, the scripture says. This fish was commissioned. In the same way Jonah had been commissioned to be a prophet to Nineveh, this fish had been appointed by God, commissioned by God, if you will, created for this very purpose. This is not an accident. This is not God figuring it out as he goes along. But rather, once again, man strives vainly to achieve his purposes. God ordains, decrees, and accomplishes all of his purposes. Same point as that last week. Now, you might ask two questions, I guess, at this point. The first question might be, are we free to go then? No, you're not. The second question might be, why, Craig, if this is the same point as last week, why did you not take up verse 17 as well last week? Why did you leave that for this week? Well, that same point is in verse 17, but there is also much more in verse 17. And that is why we've separated out. So let's continue on. And we need to note now, as your second finger is holding that passage in place also, we need to now consider Matthew chapter 12 as we dig deeper. For Jesus makes reference to Jonah 1:17. Jesus makes reference to our text this morning in the book of Matthew, in his earthly ministry. Jesus makes reference to this. And therefore, we're going to spend much of the remainder of our time in actually Matthew chapter 12. Now, I need you to know that I am not bouncing around in Scripture this morning. We are dealing with Jonah 1:17. But if the New Testament, and if New Testament writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and if Jesus in particular, refers to and helps explain an Old Testament text, then I think we better sit up and take notice and be aided in our understanding, in our interpretation of Jonah 1:17 by the helpful words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. So now, using that second finger, you can turn to Matthew chapter 12, and we will spend most of our time now in Matthew 12, but understanding Jonah 1:17. As we turn there, and as you consider those words which we did read earlier in our scripture readings, plural, as you turn there, I would hope that you perhaps noted, and if not earlier, you are noting now in the text, two very small words. I do this a lot, I know, but it's important. Two very small words that are absolutely critical to understanding this text. And it says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What are those two simple but absolutely critical words? As and so. For they help us understand what the text is trying to do here. There's a comparison being made clearly. As Jonah, so the Son of Man. As Jonah, even as Jonah, as Jonah did, even so, the Son of Man. There's a comparison clearly being made here. Therefore, helping us understand Jonah chapter 1, first of all, and verse 17. Back in Jonah 1:17, in addition to, man strives vainly to achieve his purposes, but God ordains, decrees, and accomplishes all of his purposes. In addition to that, Jonah 1:17 is doing something else, as I said. Jonah 1:17 is also presenting to us and serving as a picture, as a prophetic picture, a prophecy, as it were, in action. A prophecy in this dramatic event. A prophecy is being made here. A prophetic picture is being cast forth, pointing to Christ. Even as all of the Old Testament points us to Christ. Even as we've noted previously that we need to read the Old Testament, not over-interpreting, not spiritualizing it, but always reading the Old Testament with, as it were, Christological eyes and Christological lenses, so that we might have the Old Testament point us to Christ. For that is indeed what Jonah 1:17 is doing this morning. As Jonah, so the Son of Man, so Christ. So then the question is, what exactly is Jonah 1:17 picturing for us, prophesying for us here in this 17th verse? For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It compares Christ's burial in the earth, in the heart of the earth, as Christ was buried. It compares it back, and it says there's a picture of that in Jonah being in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. So that leads us to another question, as I like to ask questions. Here's a question for you. Have you ever considered this? What is the significance of Christ's burial? We understand, hopefully, the significance of his death, his atoning death. We understand the significance of his resurrection, how he conquered the grave and conquered death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We understand the significance of Christ's death. We understand, of course, the significance of his resurrection. But Jonah 1:17, as we are helped by Jesus in Matthew 12, is pointing us to the burial of Christ. So why is the burial of Christ significant? Well, I would suggest it's significant for two very, very obvious reasons. They are so obvious, we would readily overlook them. But they are important. So I'm going to take you through them very quickly in two statements. The significance of the burial of Christ is this, particularly as we are looking at it now in Matthew chapter 12. That if Christ was buried as he was, here we go, folks. I said it was obvious. It is because he died. He died. He truly died. He did not swoon on the cross. He did not do anything else. He truly died. There's significance number one. And the second one is almost as obvious. If he was buried in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, as Jesus says here, if he's buried for only 3 days, then it's because he must have come out of the grave. And he must have risen from the grave. And so in other words, as Jonah talks about and pictures for us the burial in a prophetic way, the burial of Christ, really what he is doing ultimately here is not pointing us to the burial so much, but ultimately to Christ's death and resurrection here. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah is pointing us to the death and resurrection of Christ. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of an aside just for 2 minutes here. I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Even this morning beforehand, should I do this? Should I not? And now I'm committed to doing it, aren't I? I went back and forth in this, but I do want to take a little bit of an aside because I don't want people to fixate. Some of you might be seeing something in the text, and I don't want you to fixate on it and miss the point of the text because you're dwelling on this. So I am going to address here an issue with these words of Jesus that some have often commented on. And what it is Jesus says that the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Let's see. Jesus died on the cross late on Friday and was buried. He rose again early on Sunday morning. And in our way of counting time, there's a little bit of a hint. In our way of counting time, that raises questions because we would say that's 1 day, two parts of days, and two nights, not 3 days and three nights. So let's explain this so that it doesn't have you fixating on that for the rest of our time together this morning. I'm going to deal with it very quickly. Quite simply, 3 days and three nights, as Jesus says it here, is a bit of an idiom, a bit of a figure of speech, a bit of a literary device that's been used here to emphasize that it was 3 days. So he says 3 days and three nights. That's an idiom. It's a figure of speech to emphasize that it was 3 days. And then you need to understand, secondly, that their way of counting time is different than our way of counting time. That parts of a day was considered to be a day. And therefore, Jesus says here, in terms of his burial, that the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, there may be other ways of explaining it. Maybe you've got some ways of explaining it that you want to tell me all about. That's fine. If you feel the need to explain it better, I will receive that at the door. But what I don't want you to do is become fixated on this and miss what I'm about to say. So now, back to the text and back to what Jesus and Jonah are trying to teach us. We've seen that the event in Jonah 1:17 is a prophetic picture of Christ. We've seen it's a picture of his burial, but ultimately of his death and resurrection. But let's read on. Let's consider further. Let's dig deeper into the text of Jonah 1:17. but utilizing further Jesus' explanation, Jesus' reference in Matthew chapter 12. So let's consider, as we always need to do, let's consider, as we dig deeper, the context of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 12. And the context is that the Pharisees are asking for a sign. And Jesus responds, first of all, in verse 39, by saying, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." And then he goes on to explain about the sign of Jonah. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Why, first of all, is Jesus offering up such harsh words to them? Two reasons, I think. And we're building up to a point here. But first of all, let's deal with this. Why such harsh words? Two reasons, very quickly. Number one, Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus is the sovereign Lord. Jesus does not do, note the quotation marks, tricks on demand. Jesus is not one that the Pharisees can, forgive me here, but I'm making a point. Jesus is not one that the Pharisees can quarter towards and say, perform a trick, perform a miracle, perform a sign. Jesus is the sovereign Lord. Remember John chapter 5, verse 19 in our studies there. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Remember John 6, 38. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus does not perform the will of the Pharisees. Jesus performs the will of the Father. If we've learned anything in the Gospel of John, we've learned that. But there's a second reason why Jesus does not perform offer such harsh words to them in return, and does not immediately perform a sign for them here. There's a second reason. And again, we're building up here, but we need to see and understand these individuals' hardened hearts. Their hardened hearts. Just prior to this, if you were to cast your eyes just up in Matthew 12, what has happened just previous to this? Jesus, just before this, has delivered a demoniac. He's delivered a man, freed a man from being demon-possessed. And before that, by the way, he performed another miracle at the beginning, towards the beginning of Matthew 12. He healed the man with a withered hand. And think about it. He's done those two things, and now the Pharisees are saying, perform a sign. What was their response to the healing of the demoniac, the miracle that Jesus performed there? They said, "He casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." And thus Jesus goes into a discussion of the unpardonable sin there. That is what they are demanding, and that is what they are saying as evidence of their hardened hearts. As evidence of their hardened hearts. And now, after all of that, they ask for a sign. So Jesus offers up the harsh words that he does. And now, finally, as we move to a conclusion, and as we build up to now the main point, and I've entitled this, if you happen to be following along in the outline in your bulletin, I've entitled this, "Proclaiming Christ for the Glory of Christ." Have you heard that before? Please nod. Because that is the mission statement of this church. Proclaiming Christ for the glory of Christ. Why am I mentioning that now? I mention it often so that we do understand our purpose, our mission here. But I mention it now for a different reason. And I want you to consider the rest of Jesus' answer as we move to the point about the sign of Jonah, the point about Jonah 1:17. Consider the rest of Jesus' helpful commentary, as it were, on Jonah 1:17. Jesus says, "No sign will be given to it," this evil and adulterous generation, "no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. So here's the question that moves us to the point. Here's the question. What caused the men of Nineveh to repent? What caused Nineveh to repent? Was it the following? Here comes Jonah the prophet. Wait, we've heard about this guy. This is the guy who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish and then got spat up onto dry land. This is an impressive individual. God did a mighty work in him. Is that what they said? There's no record of that in the book of Jonah. There's no record that the Ninevites were even aware of Jonah 1:17 and following. There's no record of that. What caused the men of Nineveh to repent? The preaching of Jonah. The preaching of Jonah. The preaching of Jonah caused them to repent. That's what Jesus says here. So here's the point. Here is the point this morning. Last week, man strives vainly to accomplish his purposes. God ordains, decrees, and accomplishes all of his purposes. And now, this week, God's appointed way of accomplishing his purposes. In particular, God's appointed way of accomplishing his saving purposes is through the proclamation of his word. It's through the proclamation of his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. For Jews seek a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jews seek after signs, Greeks seek after wisdom. But what we do, Paul says, is we preach Christ crucified. We preach him crucified. God's appointed way of accomplishing his purposes, in particular his saving purposes, is through the proclamation of his word. And therefore, proclaiming Christ for the glory of Christ is what we do. We here at Fellowship Baptist Church do not seek after signs. We here at Fellowship Baptist Church do not try and present signs and wonders. We here at Fellowship Baptist Church do not seek to attract by providing particularly entertaining means as we gather on Sunday morning. Rather, we gather to proclaim Christ and him crucified. We gather together to present and to proclaim the sign of Jonah. For back here in the text, in conclusion, there is one sign that Jesus says will be offered, even to this evil and adulterous generation. They will not take it up. They will not receive it. They will not believe the sign. But there is one sign that will be proclaimed to that generation and to all. And what is that? No sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We proclaim Christ for the glory of Christ. We proclaim the sign of Jonah. We proclaim Christ and him crucified. We proclaim the crucified and risen Christ. We proclaim Christ for the glory of Christ. For recall, even as we began, there was about 2,800 years ago a man who, being tossed from a boat, swallowed by a fish, a great fish, where he spent 3 days and three nights before arising, as it were, out of that fish. But also, 2,000 years ago, there was a man who died, who was buried for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, and then rose again, came out of the grave and rose again. And him we proclaim. May we be faithful in doing so. May we be faithful in proclaiming Christ for the glory of Christ. May we be faithful in proclaiming the sign of Jonah. May we be faithful in proclaiming Christ and him crucified. May we be faithful in proclaiming the crucified and risen Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Father, our prayer this morning is quite simply that we would be faithful. That we would be faithful as those who proclaim Christ, as those who proclaim the sign of Jonah, as those who proclaim the crucified and risen one. Father, may we be faithful, and as we are faithful in so proclaiming, may you accomplish your saving purposes, even through our failing proclamations, even through our failing lips, even through our sinful lips at times, even through our failing ways. Father, may we be faithful, and may you choose to accomplish your saving purposes in us and through us. For we pray this in Christ's name, amen.